The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
You know, during the entire Obama administration, I tried hard to be objective. I made a promise when Barack Obama was elected that if he did something praiseworthy, I would praise him. If he did something worthy of criticism, I would criticize him. Now, I must admit, I found much, much, much more to criticize than I did praise. But I did praise him at times, and I honored him as our president. As much as I disagreed with his policies, I honored the office. I made the same promise with Joe Biden. If he does something praiseworthy, I will praise him. If he does something worth criticism, I will criticize him. We're 6 months into his presidency, and I have found much more to criticize than I have to praise. And I admit that. Saying that, I would say this, and I really believe it. If the Biden administration and those that he associates with on the liberal left were really uniting us as a country politically, religiously, and racially, I honestly believe if the facts, the figures, the statistics, the polls indicated that we as Americans are coming together as Americans again and as we have been many times in the past, I really believe I would go on this program and say, you know what, I don't agree with much that this president is doing, but I must say this, we're coming together. We're coming together. That's not the case. That's not the case, especially on racial issues. I realize we are only 6 months into this presidency. I get that. But the folks at Gallup just finished a new poll on relations between blacks and whites. And it's the worst since they began asking these questions many years ago. The worst. And I'm quoting, according to the latest Gallup poll, race relations have hit a new low, a trend that turned slightly worse during the Obama-Biden administration and has now grown under Biden. Gallup reports that 57% believe relations between blacks and whites are bad. I want that to sink in. That's nearly 60% of all Americans. Nearly 60% of all Americans believe that relations between blacks and whites are bad. 42% calling them good. Overwhelming majority of Americans believe the division between blacks and whites are not good. The division is not good. Quote, there is a 10% race gap between blacks and whites. 33% of blacks calling relations good. 43% of whites. That's an intentional pause. I just want that to soak in. One third of black Americans believe that relations between blacks and whites is good. One third. That means two thirds of black Americans believe that the relationship between blacks and whites bad. Two thirds. And again, this is the worst it has been since Gallup began taking these polls. Quote, the reading has eroded 9 percentage points over the past 2 years as the nation has grappled with the murder of George Floyd and the subsequent nationwide protest and calls for racial justice. Those are the words of Gallup. Joe Biden, when he was campaigning for president, said that he was going to make one of his major pushes to unite us. And I would ask this question, and unfortunately our phone lines are not working. There, something's wrong. We're working on it, and they're still not working. Because I'd love to hear from you. My question, Joe Biden, President Biden now, as he was campaigning, constantly talked about how divisive Donald Trump was. And at times, Donald Trump could be divisive. I think any honest, objective person would have to admit there were times Donald Trump was not a real unifying force. At times. Other times he was. But Donald Trump received more of the black vote than George W. Bush did. Donald Trump, with all of the rhetoric from the left about he was a racist, 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 actually got more of the black vote than any Republican candidate in recent history. And this is the ultimate reason why I reject the efforts from the liberal left to deal with race relations. They don't work. They don't work. They make things worse. And I don't know that everybody on the liberal left knows that, understands that, but I believe with all my heart that many do. Again, if you look at the history of BLM, the movement, the organization, there is absolutely nothing in their history that indicates that they desire any kind of unity. They want division. They support what is commonly called black nationalism. And many of you have already done this. If you're a longtime listener, you know about my annual Kwanzaa show. Every year before Christmas, I go through the annual Kwanzaa show. Now, why in the world in the month of July am I talking about Kwanzaa? Because Kwanzaa is all about black nationalism. If you do just a little bit of research, if you think for yourself and do a little bit of research on the ultimate goals of black nationalism, there is nothing about unity. It is all about division. And the whole Black Lives Matter thing is wrapped in this concept of liberation theology espoused by Barack Obama's pastor up in Chicago that he sat under for 22 years, take a look at liberation theology and do a little bit of research. And I constantly tell you, don't believe what I say. Do your own research on black nationalism, liberation theology, and how this is intertwined in the liberal left's agenda with Black Lives Matter, the far left liberal Democrats in the Senate and the House of Representatives. It is all tied together. And the goal is not to unite us. And because of that, we should not be surprised at all in this latest Gallup poll. Headline, race relations at new low. That should sadden all of us.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
We're in a real battle on this racial thing, critical race theory, and it's infiltrating everywhere. And I got to get into this quickly because I don't have a lot of time left. I have an audio clip of a professor at Southern Seminary down in Louisville. I have enormous respect for Dr. Al Mohler, the president of Southern Seminary. I have a great respect for the seminary. And Dr. Al Mohler has taken a very strong stand against critical race theory. But he's got some people on the staff and on the faculty that they're going to have to deal with. I want you to listen to this clip and listen carefully to the double talk. It's gobbledygook. This guy may be a doctor of theology, but he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. Again, this is a professor at Southern Seminary in a forum that was held recently. Here it is.
And when we think about white supremacy, it's not only the overt, violent expressions that you see on the television in Charlottesville, for example. But white supremacy is an ideological construct that believes that whiteness is superior to non-whiteness. So then how this shows up in part is, it shows up in curriculum, right? I'm a seminary professor, and in theological education, it's you're hard-pressed to find many evangelical institutions that have a regular requirement of black and brown authors. And often what happens is, whiteness becomes the standard by which all good theology is judged. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So that if it's right theology, it's written by a white scholar who is contextualizing that theology for white audiences. And so one of the things we see is, and hear this very, very carefully, there's racism by intent and there's racism by consequence. You can have racism operating in a context where is there are no individual racists. And that, in part, is the way in which white supremacy works in a socially sophisticated way. When you have whiteness as the priority, and when folks work and operate in such a way with curriculum, with economics, or with policies to maintain and to posture and to privilege that whiteness, and then to require those who are non-white to culturally colonize to whiteness. So then we think about reconciliation and ethnic hostility. The solution is not more black and brown faces in white spaces who colonize to whiteness. The solution is fundamentally, yes, the gospel, the cross, the resurrection, right? The blood of Jesus, but also dethroning white supremacy in all of the forms in which it shows up in Christian spaces, folks. Because when Jesus died to disarm those principalities and powers, one of those principalities and powers, I would argue, is white supremacy and all that it entails. So feel that tonight. White supremacy is not just violence or KKK or lynchings. It is also the belief, directly or indirectly, that whiteness is rightness, and everything has to be judged by that.
Now, did you listen carefully to that? This professor at Southern Seminary implied you can tell whether a person is racist or not by walking in and looking at the books on their shelf. You can tell if a school is racist or not by looking at the books in their library. If they don't have a bunch of theological books by people of color, well, they may not even know it, but they're a racist. In fact, he said, you can have racism without individual racists. Say, what? You can have racism without racists. Listen, I have a theological education as well. I do not know of anybody that I have ever met, and I have met thousands of theologians, pastors with Bible college and seminary educations. I have met thousands of them. I have never met even one who chose their theological books by the color of the skin of the person who wrote it. That's ludicrous. That's ridiculous. But you see, he is into critical race theory. And it is sad. The president of Southern Seminary has taken a strong stand against critical race theory, and now he's got a professor out on the lecture tour implying that if you're white, you are a racist. And I can prove it, because most of the theological books you read are written by white people, and that makes you a racist. That's nuts. And not only that, it's incredibly divisive. It's just incredibly divisive. I'm looking for people, organizations, schools that are trying to unite us and tear down barriers and walls. People like that guy are building walls. All right, wish I had more time. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful evening. But please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.